Today's scripture reading comes from 2 John verses 7 through 9. I encourage you to follow along as I read 2 John verses 7 through 9. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who did not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son.
Good morning. I am excited to be here. I'm just excited this morning. Sunday is like the best day. Sunday is like fun day. I love waking up every morning. But I love waking up in the morning on Sunday. We are here. We are all blessed to be here in the moment. God is with us right now, and I think it's just blessing to be in His presence. If you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know He's been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know that we have we are good right now, but we have a long way to go achieving that righteousness to excite God. Amen?
Amen.
We are on that. We're in that relentless pursuit. I want to just. It's imperative that we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, because if we don't understand who we are in Christ Jesus, Satan will always know us better than we know ourselves, and he will manipulate. And he only seeks to destroy. So in the process of that, I want us to be realizing who we are in Christ Jesus, knowing what you believe and what our faith is actually in. And one of the things that we're going to be in 2 John this morning, 2 John, John is writing, and he has to combat a lot of the false teachers that are going on at this time, around 75, 85, 95 A.D. And he's combating a lot of the false teachings. People are saying Christ didn't come in the flesh. But however, we know that Christ did come in the flesh. But he wants us to be affirmed and established in the truth and walking in this love of the truth so that we can understand who Christ is and who we are in him, so that we can establish ourselves and know what we believe and know what our faith is in, and understanding who Christ is in that truth and in that love. But in 2 John, he's writing to the church here. It says, to the elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. So he's writing, he says, listen, we have this love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. So we have to, like, define this truth, because I know a lot of truth, we were talking about this morning, but we know there's a lot of different beliefs and what truth really is. And I want us to define what truth really is. And I don't want to define it by Webster's. I don't want to define it with Google. I don't want to define it what I think it is. But I want to let the scriptures define what this truth is that John is speaking of in 2 John. If you'll turn to John chapter 8 with me real quick. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 verses 31. It says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, this is Jesus speaking, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. I'll let you guys get there. I can hear the pages flipping. So we're defining what this truth is. Like I said, we're not defining this truth by Webster's or Google or myself, but we're letting the scripture define what truth is. And in John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So we have. So he says the truth will make us free, implying that something has put us as captives. Sin has taken us captive, and we weren't free because we have all come short of the glory of God, and we have all sinned, and sin has that death on us. However, being in Christ Jesus, we have been forgiven of our sins. We have come to know the truth. We have come to know him, and he has set us free. So, defining what truth is in John chapter 8, so what is it? Let's look at it. It says, what is truth? John chapter 8, 31. Truth will make you free? What else is it? What is truth? He says, my word. Then he says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So what is truth? It's continuing in the word of God, of that Jesus spoke. And then he says this belief. One of the things that I want us to understand, why I say it's imperative for us to know what we believe and the faith, what we have our faith in, is because these are the two things that will keep us in a saved condition, having our faith and knowing what the truth is and what we believe. Many organizations, religious organizations, will say, we believe in Christ Jesus. We believe in Christ Jesus. We believe in Him crucified. But then on the other hand, they will do things in their own ways and seek their own truth, their own devices. However, leaving the truth in which we were established in. So truth, verse 2 says, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Son, the Father, in truth and in love. Again, verse 3 says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. How will it be with us? It will be with us from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ the Son, the Father, in truth and in love. So it's imperative that we know what truth is, what the real truth is of the gospel, and in love. Verse 4 says, I was very glad to find some of your children, talking about the church, the people in the church. He says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, walking in the word, the truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Well, what have we received from the Father? Obviously, the scriptures say we've received a commandment from the Father. What commandment have we received from the Father? Look at 1 John chapter 2. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Flip back a few pages. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says this, by this we know that we have come to know Jesus, we have come to know God, if we keep His commandments. Then verse 4 says, now I ask you, lady, talking about the church, he says, now I ask you, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. Go back to 1 John chapter 2. Or 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what is truth? What is this command? The truth is that we believe in Christ Jesus, but not only just this belief where people say we can believe in Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. Amen. I'm saved. There's more to it than just that belief. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 19. James chapter 2, verse 19. James chapter 2, verse 19. We are getting somewhere. Actually, start in verse 18. It says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, and you do well, but the demons also believe and shudder. But you are willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless. So again, it is imperative to know what we believe and what our faith is in. Because if we don't know what we believe and what our faith is in, then we're going to have some troubles here. And what's important, and I know some of us are thinking, you know, we get it. We believe in Jesus. We believe in Him. But however, our actions say something totally different. Every one of us in this room don't believe the same. We say we believe in Christ Jesus and Him crucified and the resurrection. But then on the other hand, we have a different belief in our minds of what that really means. But even the demons believe. They understand who Jesus is. And here's how I know they believe who Jesus is. They shudder at His name. They know He's powerful. They know Jesus is the name above all names. They believed. They know He's the powerful God. They believe. And at the sound of His name, they shudder. So if they believe, what is keeping them out of that saved condition. What is keeping them out of a safe condition? Well, it has to be their belief and what their faith is in. Is our faith in the will of God? Are we performing the will of God? We are not saved by works. However, our faith, when we demonstrate that we believe and have that faith, we will see our works and what we do and how we perform in the will of God. So it is imperative, again, that us, as children of God, walk in truth and in that love. And we better know what we believe in and what we are putting our faith in, because we have established something in Christ Jesus. Go back to 2 John. 2 John 5 says, Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. Because if we love one another, we walk in the light as he is in the light. This lifestyle, that's the way he's using this word walk, this lifestyle. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have constant fellowship of by the Son to cleanse. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Then verse 6, he says, and this is love, that we walk this lifestyle according to the commandments. This is the commandments. This is the commandments. I keep reading the same sentence. I was waiting for somebody to say something. And this is the love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Walk in the light as he is in the light. That is a command.
If we want salvation, we have to continue in that. And you see all the things that we, just from verses 1 to verse 6, we've established so much. What have we established? Look at your scriptures. Don't look at me right now. Look at your scriptures. What have we established? We've established the truth. It sets us free. It's the word of God. We follow that. And he says, if we follow and continue in my word, it will set you free. So we believe in the word, the truth. It abides in us, is to do so, that relation. Also, we've received mercy and grace and peace, and that's going to be with us. And guess where that comes from? That comes from the Father, from Jesus Christ, the Son. And we have that, and we have them too, in truth and in love. So we've established the truth. We've established the love. We've established grace and mercy and peace. We're walking in it. We've received the commandment of God. We understand what the blood is. We have established so much in Christ Jesus. And this is where it gets a little bit different. Verse 7 is coming in just a moment. But we have to establish ourselves. We've established ourselves. We've accomplished so much in Christ Jesus. The truth, the love, and we're walking in it. We received his commandments. We're not doing our own thing. We're in his commandments. And then he comes to this point, and he wants to just again reminding us of what we have gained. Amen. We've gained a lot in Christ Jesus. We've gained a lot.
Again, it is imperative that we understand and know who we are in Christ Jesus. Because if we don't know who we are and our purpose in Christ Jesus, then every wind and wave of doctrine will take us away. We will hear some lofty wisdom. We will hear man's wisdom, and it will carry us away. All religious organizations do not believe in the Son of God. I'm not naming anybody. I'm speaking all of them. I'm speaking of the church here. If we get off track, we can be false teachers here, not believing in the doctrine of Christ Jesus. So we have to stay focused in the truth and in the love, so that we walk according to the Spirit in truth and in love and in the commandments of God. Verse 7 says, "So why have we established all these things? Why?" What's the point of us establishing all this love and truth and walking in his commandments? What's the point? Verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. We've heard our parts of our life, oh, the Antichrist is this man. I've heard people say, I'm not going to put any names out there. So we've heard these people, or these presidents, or this dictator, they're the Antichrist. No,
Let's not define Antichrist from what we want it to be or what we think it may be. Let's go with the scripture. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So what is the Antichrist? Antichrist is the deceiver. What is the deceiver? The one who says Jesus doesn't come in the flesh. Simple, right? Simple.
Y'all are like, 1 + 1 = 2, then? That's easy. We got that. However, we hear lofty wisdom, and for some reason we run to either different religious organizations because the church over here hurt my feelings. Or we run to this false doctrine that's outside of God's word, and we're living in it. These religious organizations, they're not bad. I mean, they're not bad, are they? I mean, they're not doing any harm. It's not like they're killing people over there. I mean, it's not about that. It's about the commandment that we received from Christ Jesus. What did he say? Walk in love. Walk in truth. He said walk in it. And love one another. This is the one. And then he says, verse 7, he says, there's many deceivers. They believe that Jesus, they will say Jesus didn't come in the flesh. And it's not just speaking about the words that come out of people's mouths. Because a lot of people will say, a lot of religious organizations, sometimes us in the church, right here, we will say, we believe in Christ Jesus crucified. We believe in the resurrection. But our actions say something totally different. Our doctrine of living will say something totally different. So we have to be careful. Speaking of being careful, look at verse 8. He says, watch yourselves. Why? Why does he say watch yourselves? Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished. Or King James will say wrote, but same thing. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. We have got to make sure we know what we believe and what our faith is in. Are we walking according to the truth? Are we walking according to those commands? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I love Hickman Road, but if we start preaching and teaching different false doctrine, y'all are like, well, don't do it, and we'll be good. but if we're preaching and teaching false doctrine and doing things outside of the commands of God, I mean, we're going to have some discussions, obviously, but if we can't come to the conclusion in the Word and let the Word speak and we follow that, then I hope every one of us will be somewhere else where the truth is being preached. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Like, if the truth is not here, then we need to seek that deeper truth in what Christ has shown us and what we've established in Christ Jesus. We have to watch ourselves and guide ourselves. You have to watch me, watch your elders, watch your deacons, and line us up with the Word. Watch your fellow companions in Christ, your colleagues in Christ Jesus. Watch them. Because we're in this together, and we have got to stick with one another in the truth and walking in the love and in the commandments of Christ Jesus. Again, you're thinking, this is so simple, Quinn, we get it. But we've seen people we know that put on such a religious facade. They're good people. They're not doing anything bad. They're good people. They believe Jesus died too. But then why are they following their own commandments? Why are they seeking different creed books? There's only one word I know that saves man, and that's Christ Jesus and his word. That's it. And if we can't come to conclusion on that and we can't defend that, then you don't know what you believe in. And you don't know what your faith is in. Because the demons even believed. And they know the power of God. But something kept them out of that saved condition. What is it? It's what they believed and what they had put their faith in. Watch yourselves. I don't care how good you are. No one in this room right now is an exception to the rule. No one is exception to the rule. Hardships happen. We lose mom, our parents. Some of us lose children. Unnatural ways. Some of us get depressed. Our days are dark. Nights are daunting and chilling. We don't know up from down. We get stressed. We start arguing with our spouse. We neglect children. Things happen. Things happen in life. And our belief begins to change. Our emotions change. And then we start viewing God's Word just a little different than what we once did. I remember growing up, there was a time where I believed that I was so strong. I believe this. But I believe in God. And then something happened in my life, and I'm like, I can be in this relationship. I mean, it's not. I mean, God really does want me to be happy, right? God wants me to be happy. God doesn't want you to be happy if it means going against His Word. Again, no one is the exception to the rule. Not even you. So He says, watch yourselves, because we've established a lot in Christ Jesus. Scripture says we have established love and truth. We've established the grace and mercy and peace, and it will be with us. And it's from God the Father and from Jesus, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. It makes God happy that verse 4, He has found some of His children walking in truth. He didn't say all of His children. He said some of His children walking in truth. All of us aren't walking in truth. Then He says, we have a commandment, a new commandment. Not that it's a new one, but this is one that we've had from the beginning, that we should love one another and walk in Christ as He is, as He is in the light, so that we can receive this forgiveness of our sins. And we've established some stuff. So He says, verse 8, watch yourselves. And then verse 9, he starts getting deeper and even more personal. Verse 9 says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. That's kind of a judgment call right there, right? This is a man writing. So he's saying, listen, who's not sensitive? Okay, I'll go in dark. So Mark, if you're in the gospel and you're doing something wrong, you're preaching Jesus is Lord, that's good, but your lifestyle is doing something different, totally different, then we have to say, I look at the fruits of your labor, or you look at the fruits of my labor and say, man, you don't have God. But we can't say that. That's not politically correct, because you can't judge me. Right? That's what we say. You can't judge me. Well, the Word's judging you, because the only way I know that wrong is because of the Word of God, the commandments we've received. But if Mark we can see the fruits of his labor, and if I can see by actions if we're lying. We know people that say we believe in God, right? But we're lying. See people cheating on their spouse, stealing, all kinds of stuff going on. I'm like, you believe in Jesus? Because you ain't. Man, you don't. Your life isn't really lining up, and we got to question those things, right? We got to question those things, and we have to make a decision in our minds to know if you're not of God, then I'm not going to let you in my home. And it's deeper than just the physical home. We have people that are not in Christ that come in our homes, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about individuals, and he's talking about in our minds. Do not let anybody in your home. Don't let anybody in there. Because when you let someone in here and they don't know the ways and the customs of Christ Jesus, they will have your whole house rearranged, and the truth will be out and the deceiver will be in. And when the deceiver is in, he's going to make himself at home. He says, listen, we still believe that Christ died. He'll say that with words, but in action... Let's do something different. Different religious organizations. They have the facade. We believe in Christ Jesus. But our actions are doing something totally different. And then he says, this is not my words, this is Jesus. This is God. He says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of who? Christ. If you don't abide in the teaching of Christ,
He does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Again, was it 1 Corinthians? Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't let them up in here in your mind. Because once that goes, you have everything. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, it's funny how he's bringing up this teaching and teaching. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, what teaching are we talking about? The teaching, keep it in context, he says this teaching that Jesus came into the flesh, the teaching about the commandments, the teachings about the truth and walking in love, the teachings about Christ Jesus being the truth and walking in his word, that's what he's talking about. If someone doesn't bring that teaching in your home, then we have got to do some things different. And you better not wish them Godspeed, he says. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. But they're not bad. These other religious organizations are we're not bad. We're not bad people. We're not bad people. We're not killing anybody. But if we're bringing the wrong teachings, he's saying, don't hurt. That's evil. How hard is it to look at someone and to actually think they're evil? That's really, okay, think about that. That's really deep. To look at someone and consider what they're doing evil. Some of y'all look at me like, that's all kinds of judgment right there. And it is. But what's more important, for your salvation in Christ Jesus, or to be politically correct in the darkness with Satan? And I'm not saying we have to go around, or you have to go around, hey, Daryl Lewis is evil. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, take a mental note and distance yourselves. Because again, I'm going to say it again, you are not the exception to the rule. I'm not the exception to the rule. I wish I were, but I'm not. For the one who gives him a greeting, participates in his evil deeds. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that our joy may be made full. I think that's beautiful how he says, I want to speak face to face. And I think that's where we really grow with one another, in the doctrine of Christ Jesus. The doctrine that says Christ Jesus came in the flesh, he died for our sins, he resurrected on the third day, and that is why we can sing a new song, and that is why we have an opportunity at everlasting life. That is why we have an opportunity to not see tears anymore. We have a brighter day to look forward to because of those teachings of Christ Jesus. God has been good to us, and we can't lose what we have established in Christ Jesus. Can't lose it. That's too valuable. Too valuable. But sometimes, when our emotions change, and we go through some things in life, and we're in that valley of life, man, those other things sound so enticing. But we have to know who we are. Take the initiative to know who you are in Christ Jesus, or Satan will always know you better than you know yourself. And he only comes to manipulate and to destroy and take you captive. Stick with the words of Christ Jesus in the truth and in the doctrine. The doctrine that says follow his commands. The doctrine that says love and walk in that truth and in that love. And when we, he says, verse 12, he wants to come to us face to face. We need to be in each other's face. Face to face. We need to be growing with one another, staying connected with one another, so that we can establish even deeper roots in Christ Jesus. Being committed to one another in Christ Jesus. Stop running when somebody hurts my feelings. Somebody hurt my feelings in Christ, and I'm not coming here anymore. But we have to, like, We are established. We've accomplished. We are one in Christ Jesus, and He wants us to be singing that new praise in one voice. Glorifying the Father who's given us everything we need for eternal life. He is preparing us for eternal life, people. He is preparing us for eternal life. So it's going to be rough down here. We're not always going to get along, but we can tolerate one another in love so that we can establish and grow together in Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Love one another. And that's what Hickman Road is going to be about. And that's what we are about. So let us be with one voice, glorifying the Father of the bright lights, our Father who is in heaven, who does not change. If we haven't been walking in the truth, it's not over. We have an opportunity right now. If you haven't been walking in the truth in your mind and what you believe and in the faith that you have, the time is now. We got so much. The latter days are brighter than the former. And let's grow in the latter days. The glory that doesn't fade. Let's bring ourselves in a deeper relationship with Christ, a deeper love, a deeper faith, a deeper belief. And let us get into the community and save the world in Christ Jesus. And be bold. Amen? We got to be bold in Christ Jesus. And we got to each day... We've got to accomplish and exhaust ourselves in Christ Jesus, following His commandments, following His word when it's not easy, and allow us to be emotionally and intellectually connected and spiritually connected to the Father, because grace, mercy, and peace will abound in us. If you have not been walking in truth and in the light and the fellowship of Christ Jesus, now is the time, more than it's ever been. And there is a song of encouragement that will be sung right now as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.